Can we turn in our Bibles to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3? I'm going to take a text tonight, verse 40 of this portion of Scripture, where it says, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." With our Bibles open before us, let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our gracious and our loving God, we come to Thee afresh in our Saviour's name. We come to look into our hearts in the light of God's precious Word. Lord, Thou hast told us as we come to the communion, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And our God, we pray that as God's people we may examine ourselves, and those that are not saved in this meeting, that they too might examine themselves. They might see what they are in the light of God's holy and precious Word. We pray that Thou would speak to hearts tonight, that they might go away with that desire to follow the Lord and to seek His face and to turn to Him. Turn us, O God, and we shall be turned. Help us to turn to Thee, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. As we come to the end of the year, there are many businesses who will be taking an inventory of their stock. Different businesses will operate on different financial years, but in many businesses, the calendar year and the business year is much the same. I remember when I was a teenager working in a men's clothing shop in Enniskillen, and we had to take stock and go and count all the suits that were on the rails and the shirts and the ties, and it was an onerous business. But you know, the stock taking had to be done, because if the stock was not taken, the owner wouldn't have an accurate picture of how well his business was doing. And there's such a thing as spiritual stock taking. Some of the Puritans were very good at this. Samuel Ward was one of the translators of the authorized version of the Scriptures, and he kept a diary every day. And if you come across Samuel Ward's diary, you should read it. And I just want to read you the entry for the 14th of June. When he went to bed at night, he would get down and he would examine what he had done that day in the light of God's Word. And this is what he said on the 14th of June, 1595. "My negligence in not calling upon God before I went to the chapel, and the little desire I had there to call on God, and my drowsiness in God's service, my sins even throughout the whole day being Sunday, my negligence aforesaid, my hearing of the sermon without that sense that I should have had, in not praying God to bless me afterward, in not talking of good things at dinner, being Positorium's Day, and not explain that, in immoderate use of God's creatures, in sleeping immediately after dinner." I wonder how many were guilty of that. And he goes on to list 17 things that he had done wrong that day. And then he ends it and he says, "And thus I sin daily against Thee, O Lord." And here in the book of Lamentations, we are urged to the business of spiritual stock-taking. The prophet here had just come face to face with a vision of the mighty God of heaven. We've read what he says earlier in the chapter in verse 22. He says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is good." And he goes on to speak about the goodness of God and the majesty and the mercy of God. And in the face of this great revelation, and as the people begin to think, and as the prophet thinks about this great revelation of God, he cries out, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." It ties in with the prayer of David in Psalm 139 in verses 23 and 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be some wicked, any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And there's a challenge tonight to search our hearts. And we come to the communion tonight. Many of those of you that are saved, we think of the command that is given there, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." But we all tonight, whether we're saved or unsaved, we can examine ourselves. You know, there's a lady one time who was listening to a preacher, and she came out and she expressed gratitude to the preacher for the message and the address he had given. And she says, "It was very searching, wasn't it? Very searching indeed." And then she said to the preacher, "But you know, I like being searched." Now the preacher knew this lady very well, and he knew that her desire and what she said was absolutely sincere. And she wanted the Lord to search her. And you know tonight we need the Lord to search us. Oh, that the Lord might come and might transform us, and that we might turn to our God, that we might be vessels unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. And so I want you to look at Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40. I want you to see this urgent appeal. And I want you to see that there are three particular things in this appeal that Jeremiah urges us to do. And the first thing I want you to see is the practice that we are to perform. We are to search ourselves. Look at the words again. "Let us search and try our ways." Now there's the direction of the Lord to our hearts tonight. Now notice some things about this direction that we are given, this practice that we are to perform, this searching of our hearts. Notice that it is probing. "Let us search and try our ways." And the word "search" there is a very interesting word. It's a word that means to seek out. But it's also a word that is translated 7 times in the New Testament as "disguise." And it has the thought there of something hidden. In fact, on one occasion, I think, in the Old Testament, it is translated as "hidden." And there's the thought here of something that has to be dug up, something that has to be uncovered, something that is there that has been hidden that you need to get at. And isn't that the picture of our hearts? I don't need to say, and if you're honest tonight, that you face up to this, and you will know that there are things that are disguised, that are covered up in your life. There are things that you would not want to be revealed. There are things that the Lord would want to put the spotlight on tonight. And it says that we're to search. We're to search and try our ways. And when you come to search, it's not just a little glance that is advocated. It's a sifting of oneself. It is the willingness to admit what we are in the sight of a holy God. You know, in general, we can come and we can say, "Oh yes, I am a sinner." In a sort of a general way, we can say, "Well, I have sinned against God. I know that I'm not what I should be." But you know, this is more than just admitting a general sense of being a sinner or a general sense of our inadequacy in the face of a holy God. This means that we are to sift ourselves, we are to see ourselves as failures in the sight of a holy God. And until we get to that truth, until we see ourselves and face the truth as God has it in His word, then we will get nowhere. One of the first things that God does when He's going to send revival is give God's people a sight of how poor they are. Are we willing, like Samuel Ward, to put ourselves under the scrutiny of God's precious word? This is a searching. This is going to be probing. And I think of those times when God probed the hearts of His people. I think of Peter, after he had denied the Lord and the cock had crowed, And in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 75 it says, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." And the Bible says that the Lord looked at Peter. And with that look, he probed into the heart of Peter. And Peter went out when he recognized what he had done and what he was. And he wept before the Lord. 1 John 3 and 20 says, "God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." He knows all things. So this is going to be a search that is probing. It's also going to be a search that is personal. Did you notice the words, "try our ways"? We're to try our own ways. We don't examine other people, we are to examine ourselves. How prone we are to examine other people. Even when we're listening to the preacher, we're thinking of who that word might be for or what it might be. This is a message for somebody else. No, it's a message for me. It's a message for you. Let us try our ways. In two places in the Bible, Paul reminds us to review our lives and not to review the lives of others. And in the first of these, it is in the context of the Lord's Supper. Let a man examine himself. And before we come to this solemn and sacred service tonight, he says, let us examine ourselves. Not examine other people. Not to look to other people. Look to our ways. And then the second place is in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. He says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves." Make sure you're saved. Dear man or a woman, young person in this meeting, what an awful thing to have deluded yourself and to think that you're converted and land at the great white throne judgment and hear the voice of God saying, "Depart from me, I never knew you." It's not for me to judge, but you know I have a suspicion that there are many false professors. There are people who profess to be saved and there's not that love of God in their hearts. Do you love God? Do you love the Savior? Do you love the worship of God? Do you love Him tonight? Listen, far better to face up to it now than to get out into eternity where nothing can be done. This is the day of grace. This is a day when you can face these things. Oh, let God examine your heart. Just step back a little bit. Think tonight. Let's just take a wee minute to reflect. How do you stand before God? How is it with your soul? What is your relationship to God tonight? Is it a true relationship? And as you come to examine your heart tonight, do it thoroughly. The word is search. The word is try. How exactly do you do that? Well, I think it is letting the Lord reveal. Letting the Lord search. Letting the Lord come with His word to shine the light in. You know, when the detective comes to do a search of a house, he'll look into every nook and every cranny and he'll turn up things. And it's a painful process. But he has to do that in order to make sure that everything is searched to make sure it's done thoroughly. And God wants us to do a thorough job. Not only do it thoroughly, but do it honestly. Don't be deluding yourself. You know, there are four estimates of your life. There's the world's estimate. There's the people around you that they think of you. Then there's the estimate of your loved ones, what the members of your own family think of you. And then there's the estimate of yourself. What you know about yourself. But then there's God's estimate. And that's the most important thing. You see, the object of reviewing our lives is that we might see ourselves as God sees us. Sees what we really are. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, verses 1 to 4, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. So there's no point in trying to fool God. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 23 and 24, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Dear friend, don't delude yourself tonight. Face this honestly. Put yourself, let him search all the deep and the hidden parts, and that they might be fully shown. Oh, dear friend, let God probe into your heart. How do you stand before God? Not only is this a probing search and a personal search, but it is a pointed search. Because you notice that God speaks about our ways. Now the thoughts are, and the feelings are there as well. But as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And God wants to see your actions. God wants to see what you do. You see, there are a lot of people who can talk the talk and they can make a profession, and when they're in the right company they can say the right things. But what do you do when you get home? Where do you go when you're on your own? What is it that you engage in? The word wears there has a reference to habitual actions. What are your habits? There's a habit maybe of being too busy for God's house. There's a habit of being too tired to read the scriptures and pray. What kind of habits do you have? Are there habits that you'd be ashamed of? Are there things that you want to cover over? I tell you, this is very pointed. The Lord wants to examine this. He wants you to examine it. He knows. And there's a practice that we are to perform. But not only is there a practice we are to perform, but there's a purpose that we are given. Why are we to search our ways? Well, the answer is given in the text of Scripture. It says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. We're to turn again to God. The only aim and the object of this searching of ourselves is to see that we're on the wrong road and then get on the right road, to turn round. To turn around, to stop and turn round and get on the right road. Oh, with God's help, you can get on the right road. Now, I want you to see that this turning here speaks of a fundamental change. This means nothing else than a radical about face, a turn round. That means that if we have seriously searched and tried our ways and discovered that we have departed from the Lord, we've stopped departing. You see, the people in Jeremiah's day here, they had departed from the Lord. Judah had done away with the worship of the Lord and had started worshipping other gods. And the Lord complained of this, and we read about it in Jeremiah 1 and 16. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. And Judah had played the harlot. And the Lord testified in Jeremiah 3 and 20, surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. And then Jeremiah advised, turn again to the Lord. That's what Jeremiah is urging the people to do. Turn about. Stop what you're doing. Get on the right road again. And that was the sort of advice maybe God needs to apply to your heart and mine. Some have left. I have to admit tonight we left the first love. We don't live in such close communion to God as once we did. Maybe we've fallen into those sinful habits and those things that trouble our conscience. And Jeremiah says, turn again. Turn back from your lukewarmness. Return to close communion with God. Break with that secret sinful habit. Shake them off. Repent. turn to God. Yes, believers need to hear that sort of thing. Jeremiah included himself. He said, let us turn again to the Lord. And it becomes the personal beckoning call of the psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 79, let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Even we as God's people need to turn to Him. And the right response to that call is that which is given in Lamentations 5 and 20. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Are there not such people among us tonight? Is there not one here tonight and you have to confess, I'm not what I once was? God needs to turn us. But if that is true of believers, then there needs to be a more radical turning and a more radical conversion than those that are outside of Christ tonight. God advises in a more urgent fashion, turn again to the Lord. That's God's call after you, sinner. Because you're going on the wrong road and you're heading down to a horrendous end. You're going to that place of pain and sorrow and everlasting regret. That place that the Lord Jesus horrifically described as a place of gnashing of teeth and unquenchable fire. Will you end another year in departure from God? Will you reap nothing but anguish and deep darkness? Is that what heading, where you're heading tonight? We're coming towards the end of the year. There'll come a day when there will be no more end of year, because the Bible speaks of that day of the Lord, and it'll be very terrible. And the prophet Joel spoke of that day in Joel 2 and 12 and 13. And he said, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. Dear friend, here's the merciful God. And all he wants you to do is turn to him. Where are you going tonight? What are you clinging on to? What is it in the world? What is it that holds you bound and in that bondage and in that chains? Oh, dear friend, God says turn. This has got to be a fundamental change. God can make a fundamental change in your life and in your heart tonight. But not only is it a fundamental change, but it's a full change. It says, let us turn again unto the Lord. And the word that he uses there carries the idea, the word turn, carries the idea of arriving at a goal, of making a complete journey, of reaching the end of the journey. That is something that is understood in that Hebrew word. You say, what in the world you said? Well, a lot of people fall under conviction of sin and get upset about sin and generally are sorry about it, and someday they're going to get saved, but they fall short somewhere along the line. You see, God wants a full change. He doesn't want you to stop halfway. He wants you to get there. Maybe you've been under conviction of sin in days gone by, and in the years that have gone into eternity, but somehow you're not right with God yet. You've had opportunities. There have been times. There have been hopes for you. People have been praying for you. Your hearts, the hearts of your loved ones are breaking over you, and you're still not saved. You know, it's a good job that with all your sin and all your rebellion against God, that it wasn't somebody like the preacher who was dealing with you, because if it had been up to me sometimes, that would be the last chance that you'd ever have. But the Bible says that God's mercy endureth forever. But there will come a day, and it's not for me, I can't dictate to God, but there's coming a day when it'll be your last opportunity. And it'll be your last chance. And I can't question God. I can't go into God's mind, but it's as He wills. But you need to be warned. There comes a last day. You know, dear friend, there are people in this land, even in Ulster, who are in the darkness of Islam and in the darkness of Buddhism and in the darkness of Roman Catholicism and in idolatry and all these evils, and they never heard the gospel, but you've heard it and you're refusing it. There are those that in far countries and in the jungles where they are eating one another's flesh, and there have never heard the word of God, and yet you are here tonight and you're still refusing that message. And you know, as we speak tonight, I believe that there are those that are falling into hell. And as soon as they get into hell, what are they going to say? Why am I not saved? You know, I've had opportunities, I've been in missions, I've had gospel tracts delivered, my friends and my loved ones have prayed for me, and I'm not saved. The Lord Jesus will open the book of opportunities. All the prayers that were prayed for you, all the seasons of hope, all the times of opportunity, you've had them all, and you've refused and refused and refused. There's a day coming when you'll be before the great white throne. The Lord Jesus will open the book of opportunities and the prayers. And He put down the date of the 5th of December 2000. And 10, the location, Bourne Free Presbyterian Church, destination, hell. What an awful thing. If some should go out of this meeting and stand before God unsaved. God has given you opportunities, dear friend. He wants a full change. Don't stop halfway. Don't stop with desires or those thoughts that someday you'll get right with God, but come tonight and get right with God right now. You need to get saved. We notice the purpose we're given. We're to turn unto the Lord. But then notice something else here in Ezekiel, Lamentations chapter 3. Look at the promise that we lean on. He says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. And the implication is that if we turn to the Lord, that He will forgive us. Now the question, of course, that will arise is, will God accept it? Now admittedly, if you look in the verses that come after the text of Scripture, you would think that the prophet is saying that God did not hear. God didn't hear their cry. God didn't listen to their supplications. But go on down to verse 49 and verse 50. And here's the change. At first he thinks that God is not hearing their cry. But look at verse 49. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Look at verse 55 and verse 56. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. And he says, thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not. And here's God taking away the fear again. Here's God coming to take away the anguish. Here's God coming to ease the conscience. Oh dear friend, in the midst of conscience, in a place where you know that you shouldn't be, in a condition you know you shouldn't be, God is able to come and take away the fear and the anxiety, and He's given you peace of heart. Isn't that something precious? Isn't that something that you want? Thank God He will receive and forgive and abundantly bless. Listen to what God promises to the backslider. He offers complete healing for your backsliding. We are assured in Jeremiah 3:22, He says, return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. And then we read the response of the people in the same verse. They cry, behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. There's the turning. There's the turning. And I'm glad that God can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody tonight and you're away from God. You're away on the fields, a wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. And maybe with honesty tonight you've got to face that, and you know that you're not what you should be, and you know that you're not in the place where you ought to be. But thank God the Lord is able to restore and bring you back. We think of the many instances of that in the Scripture. We think of Samson who went away and God brought him back and gave him a victory at the end of his life. Or David who sinned with Bathsheba and put to death her husband Uriah the Hittite. And yet God brought him back. We think of Peter. We think of the disciples. We think of these people in the Word of God. Thank God the Lord restores. Restores fully. Not only are they the promises to the backslider, but there are promises for the repenting sinner. What does the Lord promise to do for you? If you turn again to the Lord, well, He promises that if we will confess our sin, He will cleanse from that sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not only does He forgive us, but He invites us to Himself and He guarantees a full and free pardon. He says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way of the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." That's God's promise. He says, "Let him return unto the Lord, and He'll have mercy." Oh, you say, "But preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how low I've sunk. You don't know what debauchery I've been in. The devil's whispering in your ear tonight that you're no use to God anymore." Oh, thank God the Lord brings back those that have murdered and those that have sunk into the lowest. With adultery, you think of David there, and we think of what God did for him. Well, the devil may whisper in your ear and say you're finished, but thank God the Lord restores. The Lord saves. Saves sinners. He'll save you tonight if you'll come. The minister had just finished his sermon. There was burning with the quivering words, and the people sat erect, disturbed by his message. "Is there one," he said, "one in whose heart these words strike like a barbed arrow for the truth that is in him?" And then he sat down. "That was hard on John," said James, "but he deserves every word." "A blow to the shoulder for James," said John. "Time he got one too, if it's not too late." And there was a little saint hurried home and knelt by her bed and cried aloud in her anguish, "O God, have mercy upon me and give me this, give me for this stone a heart of flesh," and cried out to God for mercy. You see, she applied the word to herself. Has God got a word for you tonight? What about you? Is there someone here tonight and God is specially speaking to you? You're away. You've even been able to cover over your track. God says, "I want to search your ways. I know where you're going. I know what you're thinking." Somebody that's not saved, and it's the same with you. God knows your ways. He says, "Turn to me. Turn again to me. And He'll receive you. Bring you to Himself. Wash you in His precious blood. Make you fit for heaven. Give you an eternity of rest and an eternity of glory." Won't you have that, dear friend? Won't you close in with God's offer of mercy and find the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal? Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Maybe there is someone here tonight and God is speaking to you. Well, wait behind. The communion service will take place. But what better place for you, backslider, to get right with God than at the communion? That's one of the reasons why we have the communion, for you to get right with God. So if you're away from God, you stay in the communion and you get right with God. If you're a sinner, you can't come to the communion. But now as we sit, you can confess your sins to Him. And we'd love to have you in the communion if you get right with God. You can't come unless you're right with God. You're barred. You can be brought in amongst God's people tonight if you seek Him and call upon Him for mercy. Will you do that? Will you seek the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord? Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity of seeking Thee tonight. We rejoice in the fact that when we turn to God, that Thou dost receive us. Oh, what mercy. What mercy there is with our God. And our Father, we pray that men and women might close in with that mercy and find Thee as their Savior. Find Thee as their Lord tonight. Write Thy word upon hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen.